So the nuclear crisis in Japan and the focus on that small group of workers, now described as the Fukushima 50, volunteers, all of them, who are fighting to stabilize the situation, it underscores the pact with the devil all of us in the industrialized world have made every time we turn on a switch, turn on the lights. A career in energy? Hey, opportunity knocks.
Most of the people that work there have a thorough knowledge of radiation, and we respect it. We don't fear it. And do the job as the job's supposed to be done.
Thoughts and our prayers are with the crew members of the Deepwater Horizon.
A frantic rescue is underway in West Virginia, where 12 miners are trapped in a coal mine.
If you want to make money, it's the coal mines. It's the highest-paying job around. Of course, it's the most dangerous job around.
Voices of workers and reports of some of the risks that energy workers take, whether they're in the nuclear field or mining coal, all of it devoted to keeping the power flowing. Is this the job they signed up for in Fukushima, or is there something unusual about the risks that this group of workers is taking? With us is Andrew Kadak, once again, former professor of nuclear science and engineering at MIT. He also worked at a nuclear power plant in Massachusetts and served as its CEO for many years. Andrew, thanks for coming back to the program.
Good morning.
Also, Michael Gellerman joins us. He's the author of Face Boss, Memoir of a Western Kentucky Coal Miner and an 18-year mining veteran. Mike, I wonder if your heart goes out to those workers in Japan, and even though you're in different industries, if you can relate to the kinds of risks that they're taking right now.
Most certainly, and first of all, I'm just amazed at the devastation, as everyone else is. But yes, I can definitely draw a parallel between the Fukushima 50 and the mine rescue teams that go in working in total darkness in an extremely dangerous and hazardous environment. That's what these 50 are doing, and that's what mine rescue teams have to do, putting their life on the line, such as the Crandall Canyon mine disaster. The rescuers, I think there were three of them that were killed trying to save others. So they know the dangers.
And it's interesting, whatever place you're working, if it's on a deep water rig in the Gulf of Mexico, if it's in a nuclear power plant, or if it's in the coal mine, you know, most of the day is doing the same thing over and over again to get that fuel out, to keep that power flowing. But then when things go wrong, it's immediately. You're saving lives, you're saving people, you're saving the environment, right?
That's correct.
And it can change in an eye blink.
It most certainly can. That's the nature of an accident.
Andrew Kadak, am I overstating the risks here to these workers in Japan and the risks that anybody takes when they walk into one of these energy facilities?
Well, I think, you know, nuclear plant operators are trained. I mean, they decide to work in the nuclear field and particularly nuclear plants because they appreciate technology. They appreciate the unique features of nuclear power. Many of these people are former Navy nuclear plant operators. They're well trained. We run in the nuclear industry many simulations of accident scenarios. The training for the maintenance personnel and the operations people is continuous. And they appreciate the risks. They know radiation. They know its effects. So I wouldn't say they're afraid to work at these plants. I'm just saying they're prepared for whatever happens.
Andrew Kadak is a former professor of nuclear science and engineering at MIT. He was a CEO at a nuclear power plant in Massachusetts for many years. Martha Raddatz, a correspondent for ABC News last night, had this characterization, Andrew Kadak, of the workers now at the Fukushima. And I'm just wondering, I want you to listen to this and tell me if there's any training that can prepare for this scenario, or if she's, again, engaging in media hyperbole here. Listen.
50 workers inside the plant, working in the dark with nothing but flashlights, wearing overalls and heavy hazardous suits, trying to put out toxic fires with a hose. We are told it's like a horror movie, fighting a monster you cannot see, you cannot touch, but you know is coming to get you.
Now, she sourced those, kind of purple quotes there with the nuclear sources in the United States characterizing the situation over there. What do you make of what she said there?
Well, clearly it's drama, and this fighting this monster, so-called. I mean, these people are professionals. They know that they have a job to do, namely, if they need to supply water to this plant, they need to put out whatever fires occur. That's what they're trained to do. and the horror movie picture of this is really not appropriate. I think the characterization that it is dark, they have to wear protective clothing with flashlights, is accurate. But, you know, it's a little bit over the top relative to exaggeration of what they're feeling.
All right, then put it in practical terms. You're the CEO there at Fukushima. Do you advise those workers to go in, or do you say whatever you want to do? It's your call.
Well, you know, as a former CEO, this is obviously something you think about all the time. You know, you're putting people at risk, and the question is, you know, what are the appropriate levels of risk? The most important thing is to keep this reactor cool, keep it from having a major release of radiation, and you have to do what you have to do, and the workers realize that.
Right. You have to do what you have to do. Let me put that to Mike Gellerman, who's the author of Face Boss, a memoir of a Western Kentucky coal miner, 18-year mining veteran. Correct. In your 18 years, have you ever had to make that choice either for yourself, or do you know of a coworker who had to do the same?
Fortunately not, but I'm aware of many mine disasters and the details of the disasters. And as with these nuclear engineers, also mine rescue teams are also professionals. They're highly skilled, highly trained to go into an extremely dangerous environment with all the dangerous gases, fire damp, black damp, white damp, after damp, stink damp. They're putting their lives on the line as well.
Mike, would you rather work in a nuclear power plant or work in a coal mine?
Well, just how many people have died from nuclear power plant explosions? Very few, but then look at how many miners have been killed. So I think the mining environment is much, much more dangerous.
Would you go along with that, Andrew Kadak?
Oh, completely. I wouldn't like to be in a coal mine at all.
But neither of you want to be in Japan this morning, right?
Absolutely not.
Actually, I hope that we do send some U.S. teams and international teams to the sites, because I think I'm sure they are just overwhelmed with information, and we need to provide some important guidance here, because it's a difficult challenge, and
right.
We need to help out.
For both of you, before we go quickly, when we turn on the lights here, what should we think about the workers who are behind that power going on? Andrew?
Well, I think those 50, and I'm sure they're probably recycled. In other words, they're relieved from time to time. Are great people, men and women, I'm sure, and we should give them a lot of praise and gratitude.
Andrew Kadak at MIT, former professor of nuclear science at MIT, was a CEO for a nuclear power plant in Massachusetts. Mike Gellerman, behind that switch, what should we think about the workers' risks?
I'm praying for them. That's about all I can say at this point. I'm very concerned. Especially when I see to the point they're using garden hoses to cool a nuclear reactor.
Mike Gellerman, 18-year veteran of the coal mines. He's the author of Face Boss, Memoir of a Western Kentucky Coal Miner. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.